Torreway, Northwest London. Thursday, Chof Vov Nissan, the 8th of April. Rabbi Don Kaufman Schlita, the 20 Forbidden Birds.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Sain. Good morning to the Lasher and Nenupoi as well. As was just announced, the subject are the birds. Now, it's actually particularly suitable to talk about the birds first thing in the morning at the Shiur, because birds sing early in the morning. My way here, I was focusing on that. How the birds all around you are singing. And this, it's very, very pleasant to hear the birds singing. It's their way of singing Shira. But what an interesting fact is if it's not absolutely true, it's certainly generally true, the birds that sing are the kosher birds. The vultures and the birds of prey, the wild birds, are not singing. They have no sound at all. Interesting, again, because wild animals, the animals of prey, certainly do have noises. The lion has got a terrific roar. And so do other cats who are animals of prey. But birds of prey are silent. And generally, if not altogether so, we don't know, because we don't know which all the birds, which are kosher, which are not. But generally, it was certainly correct by fact that the birds that sing are words that don't have claws. That's don't have claws. They don't have their fingers are not claws.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's certainly true. So that's just an interesting fact to know. I was even pondering whether some people like to listen to recordings of birds singing, because it's very relaxing, very pleasant. I wonder if that's forbidden in the Sfira to listen to the singing of the birds. I don't know. I don't find it mentioned in Halacha. Now, what does the parasha say? It says in the parasha, "Ve'ele teshaktzu b'ne'oy." These you should reject from amongst the birds. Lo ya'ochalu, they shall not be eaten. Ki lo'achu sheketzem. These are an abomination. We'll have to explain what the word lemino means. Now the posuk on itself, just the one bird mentioned in the whole posuk. There are 20 birds listed here. Now the Gemara does ask the question that why is it in Parshas Re'eh, where we have the parsha of the animals and birds again, there there's 21, not 20. So the Gemara already answers that there's another one called Ro'o, which is a variation of the Do'o. But it's actually it's only 20. Now, if you want to delve into the whole subject of which birds are these and which ones are kosher and which ones are not, you'll never come to the end. You'll never reach a conclusion, because to start off with, already in the Gemara there are discussions about what exactly these birds are, and the Gemara discusses certain birds which are similar, and some say they are, some say they're not kosher. Plus, go further into the Rishonim, you've got a Machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos, what is the nesher? The Rashi says it's an eagle, and Tosfos says no, it's not an eagle, because an eagle doesn't have claws, or doesn't have the extra finger of the claw, whatever. Tosfos said it's not an eagle. Then comes the Ramban, who says yes, there's a certain type of eagle which does have it. So we're never going to come to a conclusion of what birds are kosher, and what we do in the end of the day is only eat those which we have a tradition and a soda, that these are the ones that we eat. That's the bottom line here. And there's no point in trying to go into which birds are these exactly. It won't get you anywhere. Anyway, that's not really my style of learning. I want to discuss a different question. Here in the parasha, 20 birds are mentioned. And with 15 of them, it says S. So it reads and then it changes. Ve'esa osniyo. And why does it change? Why does it change to es? Later on, vesado, veshoayo, veshoayo, ve'es kol oirev. And there's not a ve'es this time, it's only es. Another variation. Ve'es basayano, vesatakmos, vesashoch, vesanes limineu. And don't say it says es always at the end of the posuk, but that's not true. Es comes at the beginning of the posuk as well. Ve'es hachasido is the beginning of the posuk. So it's nothing to do with that. So we want people to understand this. We need to go into the understanding the word Ace and S, and we also have to understand a little bit about the background of the birds. First of all, let's explain Ace and S. The word S is obviously the most frequent word in Tanakh. There's over 5,000 times you'll find it there. Even the computer couldn't tell me how many, because it can't do more than 2,000 memories. My computer doesn't do it. So I don't know exactly, but if you look up concordance, it's thousands of times, and easily the most frequent word is the word S in the whole of Tanakh, clearly. So the Arachaim HaKodesh in Parshas Vayakhel, talking about the S and the S over there in Vayakhel, when you've got Esa Mishkan, Ves Oholoi, Ves Mechsei, Ves Kolosov, Es Kolosov, Ves Berichov, Ves Es Horon, Ves Badlov, Ves Paroches Amalsach. All these psuk of the S and the S there. So the Rachaim over there says that S means to nominate the item. It's a definite article. Whereas Ves is to tell you that the next item on the list is also equal to this one, even if you think it might not be for some reason, it's also as important or as significant to the list that you're saying. That's what the Rosh Chaim says on S versus Ves.
That's not the Ves means it's to do with the
yes, exactly. That's and it is
group.
Also part of this list.
One
group and equal to yeah. What the that's why it says Ves.
Yeah.
So it can be mid pasuk, it can be the end of the pasuk, and at any point. That's not the issue where it comes. But what about ace and verse? So clearly, the word ace is something more emphatic than the word s. That's obvious. Why is it obvious? Because the word s is always hyphenated. There's never stands as a word on its own, and never has a negina. It always belongs to the next word, so it's somewhat less important. But the word ace always is a word on its own, always has its own negina, so it's more emphatic. However, if you would ask, there's no way I could stand up and go through the Torah and explain every ace and every s, why is ace here and why s over there. That would belong to something way beyond what I'm capable of doing. And the Gemara does say, the Gemara in Chagiga says, and the Gemara in Psochim says, that Shimon ben Amsuni used to dash and call esim Shabbat Torah, at Shehigia, l'esel Hashem mekecha, tiro esavicho esimecha, and so on. And so it was something that the Tanoim were capable of doing, but of explaining S, all the S, and probably presumably difference between the S and S as well, presumably included in that. The Gemara says the Chagiga that not the Mekiva, no. So another Tana used to do the same, could do this, but doesn't mean I can do this. What is the difference, however, between Ace and Verse? That's fairly simple. That's what I'm going to try and explain to you. What is ace and verse here? The ace is simply means and also that. I'm going to tell you something more chiddush. Something additional to what I've just told you is when I say verse. So let's go back to the birds. When we compare this parasha of the birds to the parasha later on of the Shrotim, in the Shrotim, you've got nothing of the sort. What does it say with the Shrotim? Basheret asheris al oret, hachoret, v'ho achbo, v'hatzov limine, v'ho anoko, v'hakoch, v'hato, v'hachoimet, v'hatir shomes. It doesn't say S or Ace at all. Nothing at all. Why then? So the Gemara says, in various places, I should say that Shimon Amsuni was a Tanna who, so Shimon Amsuni, and who is the other one? Written down, Chagig, Nochem Ishkamzu, or Yisra Darshan. And they came to the conclusion that S is the rabbis. Oh, I'm telling you something novel. I need to focus on something. That's why I say S. So the Torah says, for example, beginning of Bereshis, Bereshis Bora Lekim, Eis HaShomayim, Ve Eis HaOretz. Why does it change? I don't know. That's beyond me. But when it says ve'es, we can learn, and we know that S is the rabbis. Because the Chazal say this, S is the rabbis. So therefore, in the Shrotzim, there's nothing to learn from it, except which are the Shrotzim. It's a list, and no more than that. With the birds, there's a great deal to be learned. And the birds which are mentioned are the Tumayim birds, and we also have four times mentioned Leminehu, and Rashi already quotes that when it says Leminehu or Lemino, it means there are other birds which do not look like this bird, like Esa Ho'ayo Lemino. There's another bird, other birds which look like the Ayo, So we don't look like the Ayah and don't resemble the Ayah, Rashi says, and yet they're called, they're part of the Ayah family. That's what it says in the Minlok, because I'm more like this bird. So in the end, you will never know which birds are permitted or also, because there are others which don't look like, which are also somehow deemed part of them, are deemed part of it. You're not going to know. But there is something to be learned from each one, and it's very important to appreciate that these birds, 20 of them which I mentioned, are not necessarily birds of prey. Definitely not. If you study them, and I'll do a little bit of that, they're not necessarily birds of prey. There are other things to be learned from them, which is why they are tommy. That's the introduction. So let's approach the parasha. Can I just say one more thing about the ace and the s? The word s has got multiple meanings. For example, it can mean the word with, as the pasuk says. I've given an example. Eilish Shemois Bnei Yisrael Bo Mit Sloimo Ace Yaakov. And they came with Yaakov. Ace means with, or S if you like. There are many examples just mean S. Means with. Other times it's just the object, and sometimes it's there to learn a drosha from. It has multiple applications, the word S, but not the word Ace. Ace means, and I need to tell you something else about this. So let's start the parasha. It says in the Pasuk, Es HaNesher is the first one. And it says S, it doesn't say verse, but obviously because it's beginning of the list. So it just says S. So the reason why the Nesher is mentioned first is quite obvious. Because in the Gemara, when we start off the Sugya, it says that, the Mishnah first. Let me just quote the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that although there are no simonim in the Torah for birds which are kosher or otherwise, just a list of them. However, says the Gemara, kol oif hadoyres tomei. If it's a bird of prey, it is tomei. Not every bird that's tomei is a bird of prey, but every bird of prey is tomei. Because she yesha arba etzba yisero, if it has a surplus finger. You can look at the pictures. This is also varied, because birds have three fingers and one further back, facing the other way, and some a bit further up, and they vary. Therefore, you're not going to know from this exactly which birds are kosher anyway. Zefek means it has a little bag, which is similar to chewing the cud, where the food goes into a bag before it continues on into the stomach. It chews the food, digests it somehow in the little bag called the zefek. And then it moves on. So there's something similar to chewing the cud here with the birds as well. The kurpon and niklaf, and the inside of the stomach has a lining which can be peeled off. But the Gemara is not too sure about that either, because the Gemara says, what happens if you can peel it off, but you need a knife to peel it off? So it's not easy to do. Is that called a kosher? Not called kosher? It's all left unclear. And then the Gemara adds a fifth one, the Mishnah, Rebbe Elazar ben Tzadok Omer, kol oif hacholik es raglov. If it has four claws, and all birds have four, three at the front, one further back, one further up, the fourth one, and some birds have two and two, facing opposite directions, which assist in grasping things. That says Rabbi Lesman, so, that's a clear sign of Tommy, because that is an extreme case of doyres. It makes it ideal for clawing. So when the Gemara comes to discuss this Mishnah, the Gemara starts with a nesher and says, "Ma nesher mayuchod she'ein lo etzba yisero." It doesn't have any of the four simonim. And nevertheless, it says it's possible. It's Tommy. So, and from there, the whole sugya is based on this. That compared to the nesher, what is the nesher? Machalok rashi tosfos. Is it illegal? It's not illegal. But the nesher is mentioned first because that is the one where we start the sugya and learn all the rules of the four simonim. That the Torah mentions nesher as being not allowed, and the nesher does not have simonim, says the Gemara, of being tomei. And nevertheless, the Torah says it's tomei, so it's exes hakosov. But the nesher is a bird of prey, nevertheless. So it is doing this, but it doesn't have the simonim. It manages without those simonim. So that explains the first one. Then the pasuk goes on and says, "Es ha'nesher ve'es ha'peres Ve'esa Ozniyo. We come to the first Ve'esa over here. So what do we know about the Peres and Ozniyo? So the Gemara says that there is another version of birds called the Lopti and the Kitty and the Kani. These birds are similar to Peres and Ozniyo. And we don't know what they are at all, these birds. So therefore, those birds have only one simon of Tommy. And from there we learn that any bird that has one simon of Tahar, I mean only three simonim of Tumah, and one of Tahar is Mutter to eat. So that's why it comes on the list. But why do they say Ve'esa Ozniyo? Why Ve'es? Because so the Peres is some kind of bird of prey, something similar to the Nesh. What it is, I don't know. But a hawk. Right, okay. A hawk is a prey? Yeah, all right, fine.
I think so.
All right. Ozniyo is translated generally as an osprey, roughly speaking. What do we know about the osprey? Well, they are land birds. Walk on the land. They don't. They can fly, but they walk on the land. They do not. They're not like ducks, which are birds of the water, but they do exclusively live on fish. They walk by the banks, and they can catch the fish because they've got long necks and long legs, and they can reach quite far down. And they catch fish, the osprey, and they live. So that could be a reason why there's a chiddush at Ve'es. Now I'm telling you a chiddush. Even though this bird eats fish, and there's nothing wrong with eating fish for a bird, but this is not a bird of the water. It's a bird of the land, and it could survive on eating vegetation. It's quite possible, easy for it to do. It lives on the land, and it doesn't. And it goes and eats living creatures, other living creatures. That's not right. It's an azorigus. It may not be azorigus for a bird. Ducks always live in the water, and they eat other fish and worms in the water. And that doesn't make them invalid for us to eat. Because that's where they belong, that's their natural habitat. But an Ozniyo is a land bird. So why is it going into eating fish? So what is achzorius for one is not necessarily achzorius for another. And that's the chiddush, Ve'esa Ozniyo. But that's not the only chiddush.
Land birds eat worms.
Yes.
All of them.
The Ram asked this kasha. The chickens that we eat also feed on birds, yeah. On worms. All of them, yeah. So the Ram says on the sugya here that... that they are worms, are insignificant and very small, and they're not choshuv. And even though they're forbidden to us, we can't eat worms because we are so much better and distant and more important than worms are. Therefore, to us to eat worms is lowly and forbidden. But for a bird, it's not. For a chicken to eat a worm is not azorius. It's small, it's insignificant, that's okay. By the way, before I go any further, let me just explain. There is a machlokus, three-way machlokus. What does it mean, birds of prey? Rashi says that birds of prey are those which feed themselves with the claws. They catch with the claws and they feed into their mouths with their claws. The claws being the equivalent of our hands. And for that is what we mean by doires. It can use its claws to feed, as opposed to we know chickens and birds that we see around, robins and so on. These birds have beaks, and they peck their food. That is less exorious than the feet. Feeding with your feet is somehow a form of doires, and that's exorious, and that's those ones which are not allowed. That's Rashi's opinion. The Rambam says that it holds the food with its claws, even though it eats with its mouth, but it holds the food. And the Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos here in Chulin says that it eats live animals. And that's where the Ram comes in and says if it's worms. And it's interesting that Rashi's opinion about the pecking, because I've checked it up in pictures. Birds which sing all have beaks and they peck the food. All those type of birds. So those which sing Shirot Hashem seems all together, but very much so, they are the birds that peck the food. Now. What else do we know about the Osniyot? Well, the Osniyot are called monogamous. They pair for life. But generally, not absolutely, just generally so, they pair for life. That means that they have a partner and they stay faithful to their partner and they stay in the same nest. However, the problem with the ospreys is that they have to migrate in the winter. And when they come back, sometimes the mate gets lost, they lose each other. So then they do change their partners. So it's not absolutely consistent for life, but generally so. Therefore you could learn the Chiddush like this. V'esa Osniyot, even though the Osniyot is faithful to its partner, that is a Muda Toivo, not necessarily enough to make it a permitted animal species because of its tendency to be doris. So that doesn't make you kosher. The Welt looked as our witz, you know. You see, every time you see a Meshugana, looking a weird-looking person walking along Gemei Shorim, you have to assume that he's actually a Tzadik Nister. You know, that doesn't follow because he's strange that he must be actually Nister, a big Tzadik. That's not necessarily so. So just because it's got a good middah, there's something unique and special about this bird, that doesn't yet make it atomic kosher to eat. So that may be the explanation for this Esa Osniyot. Before we come to that one, next one is the ace called Ace Kol Mino. Here it says ace, not the ace. And it's a possum on its own. Ace Kol Revna Mino is just a short possum. Now here I'm afraid to tell you I have nothing to say on the matter because there's no chiddush. It doesn't say ve'ace and then it says ace. And why does it say ace? That is a grammatical issue. There's nothing to do with the birds. Because you've got a short posuk. And a short posuk by rule, go through the Torah, you'll find it this way, must have melech tipcho sof posuk or tipcho melech sof posuk. You can't have a two neginas in a posuk. You can't say tipcho sof posuk. Except for two. There are two exceptions in Parshas Vayigash. It says, uvnedon hoshim. And Parshas Pinchas has one as well. But generally, no. Every posuk must have two neginas and a sof posuk. So here, how would you read the posuk? How would you read? Eskoloi reiv, let me know. You can't, because there's only one negina. Eskoloi reiv. Therefore, there must be ace, which takes a negina. And you've got merchat ace called oireiv, let me know. It has nothing to do with kosher birds. It's simply a grammatical issue here, or a laning issue, how the posuk has to be written. So let's pass that one.
What's the problem with it being like uvnedon choshim now?
Because I don't think we should go into this right now, but there's an explanation why it says, why there is an exception to the posuk there. There's an explanation for it, which wouldn't be the case here. Therefore, there's no such.
Exception by the oireiv is that it was.
And after became, you mean?
Yeah.
Ah, you want to, okay, right, okay, right, say that, maskim. So we can say ace for that reason. Okay, fine. And then the next one, ace basayalo. Now, the ostrich. Now, the ostrich is a mighty, mighty bird. The biggest bird of all, it's sometimes termed the horse of the birds. It is almost as big as a horse, and extremely fast, and it has a tremendous power of kicking. And it's said that even the powerful animals, lions and tigers and the likes, on their own would never attack an ostrich, because the ostrich will beat it with its kicking. They can't win. Only in groups can they attack an ostrich. It's a very powerful bird. So, but the interesting thing is the ostrich is entirely vegetable based. It's not a bird of prey. It doesn't. So why then is it tommy? What? Because there's a certain middah here to learn from. The ostrich can scare off all other animals. It does have that power. They know its power, and it uses that power to manipulate and to bully the animal world. And there is a middah to learn from that makes it tommy. Yes, you're not doyles. True, not true. It's fair enough. You're not wild. You're not doyles. But you've got a middah bullying people. Tommy, we don't tolerate that. We don't want to eat that bird because of its nature. I'm not going to get to the end. It's a Hasid, so I won't get to the end here and explain all the birds. So let me just follow variation, just go to something different, just to give you a little variation, something else entirely, which I've written down here. And in this Sedra, around Shlishi, there are what I deem to be five cases of unusual Naginas. Around Shlishi, there are different ones, I won't go into that, but I just want to explain one of them. Just one. It says, Vayakrivu lifnei Hashem, Eish Zoro, Asher Loi Tzivo Oison. Right, loy is mercho kfula, and it could easily be, it fits in, say mercho tipo, asher loy tzivo oisam, quite okay. Why do we have mercho kfula there? So I'm going to suggest some answers to you. First of all, an answer in simple pshat, translate it. Asher loy tzivo oisam, they brought ketoyre, they brought eish zoro, which they hadn't been commanded to do. That's a simple translation. And if you would say asher loy tzivo oisam, that's how you would translate it. So the Balaturim says that's not the case. What happened? They were told not to bring Eish Zoro, and yet they did. So therefore, you have to have Mecha Kfulo, because Loi Tzivo would connect Loi with Tzivo, they're not commanded. But if you say Loi Tzivo Oison, not to bring, they were commanded. Loi not Oison, they were commanded. That separates it. And it gives you the pshat of the Balaturim through this Nagina. That's one explanation I would offer you. Another one is a posuk in Pashas Toldos, where you have another Mechuk Kfulo. And when Yaakov brought a meal to Yitzchak, behind Esau's back, he brought him meat, Vayoveloi, Yain, Vayesht. Yoveloi, and the Mechuk Kfulo there. And I think it's a Meshach Chochmah who comments on that. And he says, because the Gemara says, when you drink wine, I think other things as well, once you drink it in two goes. To drink it all in one is gluttonous. To drink it in three lots is pride. It shows attempted esteem. I do things very, very elegantly. And two is the right manner to do it. So therefore, Yaakov brought Yitzchak a cup of wine. He drank part of it. He took it back and offered it to him a second time. Therefore, you've got Mecha Kfulo, because he brought it to him two times. And that's written in the Meshach Chochmo. So we can say something like this over here as well. The Nodav and Aviyu were Shesuya Yayin. They came to the Beis HaMikdash drunk. What is the halacha of Shikur? Shikur is someone who's drunk a revis of Yayin. But it only counts as a release of if you drunk it in one go. Someone who drinks it slowly would not be called a shisuya yayin. Not actually halachically osur to come and do avodah. If he drank it in separate times, dividing the two.
If you stone drunk and if you drank it a few times, then
halachically no. Halachically no. If you didn't drink it revias yayin, but revias, it's not actually legally considered. Anyway, unless if you drank one of these, if you drank many, maybe you're right. Okay, if it when we say shikur kaloit, stomach, yeah, okay. So, I want to suggest that the loy is telling us that there was a double chait here, that they drank a revias of yayin. Which means, one, they came into Beis HaMikdash after drinking. Secondly, they transgressed the rule of drinking Revi'is Yayin Babas Achas. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been forbidden to come in. So therefore, we have a look at Becho Kefulo, to tell them something kofful about it, that they committed. Oh, right, I have to stop here. I must be punctual.
Very good. Very good. Yeah.